This is RSVMB Update, episode 425, recorded Friday, August 9th, 2013. Unlocking our true power. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us for this edition of RSVMB Update. Once again, another quiet week on the RuneScape front, but I think we can live with that, knowing what's coming, right?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, it makes our job easier, and we get to, we don't have to do anything exhaustive for a while, and, we can pretty much just sit here and pretend we're playing the game when sometimes we're not. But I actually did do that this week. So, anyways, let us begin this week's fine show. Just the two of us here this week, as usual. So, we're going to cover everything as we normally do. And we're looking for probably a bit of a shorter show this week. Probably about an hour and 10 minutes long. So, let's begin.
Never happens.
Yeah, well, let's see. First up, the battle update of the week. All right. So, have you gone back to the battlefield at all this week?
Yeah, I did yesterday.
Okay. What'd you do?
Poor thing. We dig, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, summarizing it as of about an hour ago, Sarah Doman is still in the lead by 17 million points. That lead is indeed growing. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week when the new tier of items opens up. But we'll get there in just a couple minutes. Aside from that, based on the helping the Duke out of Lumbridge last week, Duke Horatio, the community chosen choice was to recruit more guardsmen at Lumbridge based
that
on
sucks.
What everybody suggested. I know, I forget what I chose, but I chose the opposite one. So that's too bad. But you definitely can see them around there. And maybe after this little war is over, we can put them to work and repair all the holes in the castle wall and everything and all the craters in the ground and all that other good stuff. So aside from that, there's another choice you can take part in this week by talking to the Duke. This week, basically, he is contemplating calling in reinforcements, and there are four choices that you can do. And of course, you get the usual bonus XP for them, so if you're training a slower skill like construction, well, not exactly a slower skill, but a more expensive skill or a slower skill, you can apply that boost there. It's a nice little boost. You get about 18,000 per week. That's for me at around level 80-ish. So always good to do these things because it's only a couple seconds of your time. But anyways, the choices for this week are to ask for assistance from the White Knights, ask for assistance from politically neutral Varrok, send a delegation to Al-Qarid. It doesn't exactly say what sending that delegation would do. I guess maybe to repair relations with them and get them to come help you. And then the fourth choice is to not ask for anyone's help. Which one would you do?
Oh, I picked the political neutral Varrok.
Okay.
Figured it'd be kind of nice and not go all goody-goody. I'm pretty sure the White Knight thing is going to win.
Yeah, I actually went with the White Knight thing.
You should not go with the White Knight thing, man.
Why? What's wrong with the White Knights? They're on Sarah Doman's side.
And they have their own agenda.
I know, but still, I mean, if I remember correctly, their agenda was perhaps a more conservative agenda.
So you want to eradicate the entire Black Knight population?
No, I never said that. I never said that.
That is the goal of the White Knights. You know it.
I know, but we're going to actually get to that in just a little bit later on in the RS section, because that is what is coming out next week. But all right, so there's our choices. Now, next week is the start of week four. So starting on Monday, the next tier of armor and rewards will open up. And they did say last week in the behind-the-scenes video that potentially some other forces will be joining the battle. So who do you think's coming in?
So our Dome Inside is winning with that that healer centaur.
Right. Okay. But do you think any other kind of maybe pseudo-god forces will come in? Not necessarily gods themselves, but followers perhaps? Like, will the ogres and goblins send some cavalry and meat shields in, perhaps?
What is the meat shield for Zamorakians? Crawling hands?
Maybe.
Yeah, just start throwing them and just slap people and charge them with a knife.
That'd certainly be a handy thing to do now, wouldn't it?
Very handy.
Yes.
Double fist of fury.
All right. Honestly, I think, as I said before, I think we might see some sort of Armadil-type follower coming in on the Ceridoman side, and maybe, I don't know, I don't know if the Bandos gods would get involved in this yet, but maybe given the quest that's coming out next week. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So, that's our thoughts on the Battle of Lumbridge, and that's where we progress to this week. All right, so, you remember last week in the behind the scenes, they mentioned the loyalty program update.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the 19th of August, the loyalty shop will be closed down for 1 week, and you won't be able to do any purchases there. So if you need to do any purchases, best to do them before the 19th of August, since that's when it closes down for the updates. But once it reopens up, you'll be able to use your loyalty program points in order to buy things from Solomon's general store. So I think that's worth it, because I have 95,000 loyalty points saved up. So
only?
Yeah, only. Only.
How much do I have right now? I think I have over 100,000.
Yeah, so I mean, you and I are going to have fun purchasing all the sorts of Solomon store stuff that we want. But also, remember that anyone who's a member for a year receives an exclusive milestone reward with more for whole consecutive years of membership that follow. So, you think they're going to be backdating these things to the past?
Nah.
Yeah, probably not, because, you know, they didn't do that when these first came out, and I have pretty much been a constant member since June 2004. I don't know when you started your membership. I know you've
I started in 03. No, I was playing as free play in 03. I think 04 is when I became a member for a while. Then I stopped and when I took a break from it, and I came back on because you begged me to.
Okay, so chances are anyone like this might end up getting shortchanged on some of these, but we'll definitely accumulate it quickly once it comes back. So, just a reminder out there for everybody, if you need any auras, to do it before the 19th. All right, the divination skill cape. Happy with the one that won?
I don't know. Isn't that the one you were begging us to vote for so you can win and get 99 divination before you quit?
Yeah, that was the case. So, cape 6 won 41% of the vote, which is 21% more than the next option. So it's a nice blue-green kind of trim with a purpley-blue background. I don't know. I quite like that.
Hmm.
What do you think?
It looks like it's semi-made for a Roman general.
Oh, good. So I'll be a Roman general when I get it then.
Actually, no, take that back. You look like the Mandarin from Iron Man.
I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
I know, but those who do won't understand.
Okay.
Hate your evil shame with that cloak on, but in a sharp mustache, 10 rings, very long nails, and a Chinese goatee about foot and a half long. You know, the kind of goatee where you can wrap your fingers around your beard
Yes, yes,
and kind of pull on
yes, yes.
it.
Yeah. And that's the kind I insist that you grow. Yes, no.
Me? No.
Yes, you.
No, I don't look good with it with the goatee.
All
You
right.
rarely see any Asian person with a goatee unless they can actually have the facial figure to do
All right. Oh, that's too funny.
it.
But anyways, Cape Six is one. For the record, 12,457 votes on that one, and the worst was option two at 838 votes. So nice, nonetheless. All right. Moving on from that, the audio team did a podcast, which you can listen to on Podbean or subscribe to their channel on iTunes. Audio podcast, let's see, creating, let me just read what it says. Creating music and sound for RuneScape. Mod Phoenix sits down with the RuneScape audio team mods, Lord, Ian, Mick, Bond, and Adam, to discuss what it's like to bring sound and music to the land of Gielinor.
Okay then.
All right.
Okay, let's see what's next. Ooh, here we go. There we go. Okay. We have the behind the scenes photo for the death of chivalry.
Video, not a photo.
Oh, that's a photo? That's a video. Okay. Video.
Yes. So, this is replacing the Black Knight's Fortress quest. That quest that was one of the first quests that I did. It's the one where you had to impersonate the Black Knight, and that was fairly difficult back then. But from the sounds of it, this one is completely different story-wise and is geared toward the sixth age. I mean, I can see the need to rework it, but just like when they removed other quests, it just doesn't feel right having something removed, right? So
Well, I don't know. I want to go back there with my elite Black Knight and see what would happen.
Well, you'll be able to do that because if you have that equipment, you can wear it. So
No
definitely
more
gonna be interesting.
bronze helmet and iron chain mail.
Yeah, and didn't we get some sort of Black Knight armor from the Wel'Gothic Sleeps quest?
I don't think so.
What was that kind of armor we got then? It was something black.
While Gothic sleep. Oh, it was that one. That was
Oh,
what I was.
okay.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about the same thing then.
Yeah, I was thinking of the World Wakes one. I was like, we didn't get anything World Wakes, but yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong quest.
Yeah. So that's one thing that's going to be interesting to see with this, is if you can take that back and find out what exactly happens with it. Another thing they mentioned in this video is that this is going to be the first quest that actually scales the NPC levels based on your level. So, when we nowadays would go to do an intermediate quest, it would just be way too hard. I mean, way too easy. So, they're actually doing it to try and give a challenge to us now. I just got one thing to say about this. I hope it doesn't backfire.
What would make it so hard that you can't kill it?
Yeah. Because just look how long it took you to do the brink of extinction.
Well, one, I just was so busy with class and everything else, I wasn't motivated to finish it. And basically, it came down to the whole idea of, remember I told you, you gotta mentally prepare myself for it, and that's what I did. It was the whole having all the stuff ready to go, and you know, ready, and at a moment of time, I can grab it and just start doing it again. That's what kind of got me through it.
Right.
Still took me forever, though. God. Ranging! Range it! Range it! Wait. Do not mage. Mage sucks. Some people can do mage. I was out for right. you. My range was way lower than my magic, and I did it. Heck, I had 98 magic. I still couldn't beat the thing. I was like, God, this is a pain in the butt.
Okay, so. Also, with this quest, is it's going to have scalable rewards. So there's going to be a basic reward that you get for doing the quest, but also if you have higher levels, it's also going to open up for future rewards when you level up, or if you already have the levels, you'll get an extra reward.
You know what? Remember the White Knight quest series with the Sir Tiffy and Falador Park and everything else?
Yeah, I like that one.
He also realized that there's actually a little mini sub mission where they count how many Black Knights you've killed during your time. Would be nice to kind of maybe get back into that little, find some monsters that are actually worth killing.
Yeah. Because
you get a little title thing with that, but it's one of those, you know, sub mini quest that no one really cares about unless you're going for a completionist cape, but then again you don't really need that for the completionist cape.
Yeah, and you know the thing is Black Knights isn't exactly a puzzle-y related quest compared to say what the White Knights ones were initially. So
Black Knights are all about taking names and destroying stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to be very interesting with the whole god thing, because in the video, if you watch it, you can actually see that Sarah Doman does make an appearance in the quest.
So... I know, and I'm hoping he tries to zap me, and I go, boy, please, boom, force push.
Right, because we do have those god powers from...
World Wakes.
The World Wakes, so...
Okay. See, you're about to say, well, I got the escape, see?
Yes,
see?
Yes, see? Yes, yes. Okay. And but, the reason that is because it's a W kind of sound, and they're both to do with Guthix, so that's kind of why.
Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of like, I think they're trying to tap into your full potential, and I think that's a good idea. I hope they with divination comes out and everything, it really shows want to explore what divination is, and also you kind of like make your character feel like you're more powerful than you really are.
Yeah, and the thing with this quest coming up before divination is that there's got to be something with the gods that requires this quest in play to have a better sense of divination, I think. And we also got a teaser image on this where these people either look surprised or very horrified. So... definitely some interesting looking cutscenes in that quest. All right, so that's that. Death of Chivalry coming out next week. So, you know, one thing that I'm happy about because it's coming out next week is that. We get an extra week to prepare for divination because, you know, when a new skill comes out, we need to adjust all our stat saves and everything like that. And we've actually got to jump on that now. So just given the fact we have an extra week now, providing Jagex doesn't pull a fast one on us, we're...
It's going to be interesting how you train divination, really, in my book. And... yeah. Hopefully we can get those calculators of ours working very, you know, up to the way we want it to be.
Yeah, well, let's hope that you can actually make make a calculator for divination, unlike Dungeoneering. So, anyways, with that being said, that's it for RS updates this week. We're going to move straight on to the questions right now. We got two audio questions this week.
I think you should play the second one first.
All right.
Hey guys, it's me, Saved. I'm back from a long break from RuneScape, and I have a couple of questions. What are the best methods to make money now, and do skills matter when you're collecting Divine Tears? Thanks. Saved. Out.
I'm going to answer the second part of the question. I don't think your skill really matters. It just gives you a little bit of experience. I've had no difference when using my Rune Pickaxe versus my Dragon one. I've seen the same result. It takes forever.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. It's a relatively low-level experience because many people, even if they're just starting out the game, can experience it. So skills don't exactly matter. And as you said, it takes so long. I mean, difference between Rune and Dragon is going to be negligible. So there's that. And also, given the fact that you only get 5 XP per tier when you collect it on the battlefield through mining, fishing, or woodcutting, that's a small number.
Mm-hmm.
So,
best method to make money. If we knew that, we wouldn't be here right now in RS. We would have full God War super items and double Drygors and everything else. But
yeah.
Best way to make money? Well, if you really want to know how, it's really merchanting and flipping. Flipping is supposed to be easy, but however, it's not all of us have to have the gene to be a tycoon.
The lobes.
Sure, why not?
Lobes for business. That's a way of doing it. To expand on it, Grand Exchange flipping basically involves taking an item that you can purchase for below value. So these would be typically items that people put onto the exchange in large quantities just to get rid of them. And then you sell them back to people that need them, and that will be willing to pay for them. An example back in the olden days of this was the house teleport tablets. You used to be able to put in an offer below market price for these and buy them all up. And then basically what people would do is that there would be people out there who would need these for Slayer tasks, PvPing, whatever. And then they would just purchase, say, 10 of them at a time for, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15% above the market value, and that would make you money. So that's the core of Grand Exchange flipping, and we actually do have a focus on Grand Exchange flipping that we did last year, believe it or not. So
I can't remember who it was, though.
Yeah, let me look that up. Who was that? Who did we do that with?
Matthew? Okay. I don't know why I'm thinking M.
No, I think it might have been Rice.
There we go, Rice. I think it was Rice.
That's episode 364. I'll put a link to that in the show notes at update.rsmb.com for you.
And I think it was also, we had an informal article on that one too.
Yeah, we did. But the focus is better because it goes into basically what I said and how things work with regards to the Grand Exchange, and also covers the short-term flips, the long-term flips, and the longer-term flips, so like 6 months on order there. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it, it's not as quick, but I still swear by herb farming. It's still very easy to do that with, say, toad flax or something like that, because if I look up the price of toad flax right now, I'll see that a toad flax seed goes for 1240 GP, and you're practically guaranteed, if the thing does not die, to get at least 6 toad flax back from that, and those go for 3.4k each. So you're making money off that. So if you can just do constant herb runs in a day, then you'll be making money with that. But granted the price of herbs and whatnot have gone down, it's still possible to make a profit off them. It's just not as quick as it once was.
Okay.
And you just need to check to make sure on the Grand Exchange that the price of the seed is no more than 7 times the price of the herb, because on average you get 7 herbs per seed. So that's one thing that I do. Another thing you can do if you got high skills is get together with a bossing PVM group or PVM clan and go take down the various bosses around. Like Nex is a very popular one. And if you get drops from that, goes on CoinShare, you can make money pretty quickly. So there's that. And also, if you do have the Slayer level, there's also the Order of Ascension, which we covered a couple months back, where you can get level 90 range stuff. It's not as lucrative as some of the other options, but it's still a good way of making money, providing that you do get lucky with it.
Cool.
All right. I think that covers that one. The next one is from 101Duck1.
Hello, honorable hosts of RSBNB. This is 101Duck1 with a few questions. First of all, do you guys ever think RuneScape will be able to really reach out to a new generation like they did back in the early 2000s? I mean, honestly, and maybe I just haven't been watching, but I really don't feel like Jagex is making it a priority to bring in new players, which obviously is a business they need to be doing. Despite the fact that there are the 230 million accounts on RuneScape, the fact is that really most of the time there are only around 60,000 players actually on the servers. Do you think that Jagex could possibly be focusing too much on their current player base and not focusing enough on finding new players? At this progression, the only people playing in a matter of just a few years will be comp capers, and what's the fun in that? I mean, there's nowhere to go. On a side note, how much sleep do you guys typically get per night? Normally I'm around 6 hours, but staying up even later this summer has forced me to run on about 4 hours of sleep per night, I'd say. How much sleep would you say you need? Well, thanks, guys, for answering my questions, and another awesome show. Have a great week, you guys.
So the player base, existing versus new players.
Okay. What? You think most of the people that are having or are leaving is really the connectivity issue. Even there's still a lot of people who still, even with the great rig, like, you know, you and ours, we still sometimes have a hard time playing well on RS with the network.
I don't.
Fine, you don't. Many other people do.
Yeah.
And, oops.
Just to touch on that for a couple seconds, I have not had the connection issues that people have had. So I found that really strange. But anyways, continue.
And I think also other thing, people, old school ones are not liking the interface as much. I think one of the issues I'm having with it is that I kind of wish that the chat screen, the chat window was just full transparent, only pops out when you're actually typing something. Kind of like, you know, think of, you know, like your favorite Star Trek Online, when you're typing something, it doesn't show a giant box. I think that's really distracting. It should kind of disappear as it goes on.
Okay.
Like many other games, and one thing I think one problem with the interface is, I don't play on a full screen. I usually do something else while doing RS, like 98% of the other people, and sometimes there are times when I find the interface thing taking up more screen space than it should. Including Star Trek Online, whenever I'm fighting in that thing, I always find that all the stuff that pops out is. This should be a more better way to streamline all of this.
Are we talking about Stowe, or are we talking about RS?
It's kind of like Stowe.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Because, you know, when you're, it's like you've experienced a game where you're piloting your ship, and you kind of feel like sometimes there's not that much screen space as you would like.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So basically you want more control over what appears and when.
Hmm? Yeah.
Have you taken a look at my minimalistic UI?
Yeah, tried it. I still feel like I'm nothing but boxes all over the place.
See, what you could do with that one is you could compress the action bar into just having like the little things that show your health and whatnot. But the problem is then doing actions, you really would be handicapped by that. So, I don't know. But back to the question, do you think that with the updates that have been coming out, they're too much for the existing player base and not enough to bring new people in?
I think the also other problem is, I think new players have better choices in games to play.
Yeah, that's true.
You remember back in the day, RS was the game you played because you only had a 30-minute lunch during school break. You can't go out and, you know, finish a dungeon crawl and world and, you know, WoW and or anything else. And this was the only browser base. Now people just take out their phone.
There you go. And, you know, maybe this is entirely right with the audience on this, because a couple years ago, in, I want to say, 08 and 09, the game was really focusing towards new players and lowering the barriers to entry. Items that come to mind are the home teleport, Fortress of Player Security, and the Fortress of Player Safety. Those two things as an example. So they were really lowering the barrier to entry there. But at the same time, I mean, it doesn't seem like many of these people stuck, because we'll get to this in a text question later. I want this one to be about new versus existing players, but it might end up actually being a bit of an issue if we're looking at this, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But first, it does feel as though the content has been geared towards the core player base, does it not?
Sometimes.
So, yeah, I mean, like Dominion Tower, the high-level combat updates, the bosses, which are, of course, used to bring new pieces of armor and whatnot into the game, but those could have been brought in a different way, as we've mentioned many times before. So I'm actually inclined to maybe agree with 101 Duck here, in that there's a bit of a focus on the existing players versus bringing in a new crop of players to do this, which we'll see in a question coming up. So it is entirely possible that the player base is not growing enough because, I mean, like you said, people have a choice of something to do at a lunch hour. What are they going to do? Are they going to stand outside on their phone, or are they going to go to a computer lab and play RS? You know?
I think, it's easy. Yeah, phone is there more accessible than going to a computer lab. And even then, now, most school computers are ancient history.
Oh, okay.
Probably still running, I don't know, NT or
XP.
Something.
XP.
No, screw XP. I didn't have XP.
Oh, we did at our high school. But, yeah, you know, it's definitely an interesting question, and it's something we're going to have to watch, and it would be nice to see a new crop of players come in, because to share a survey result with you guys, the vast majority of people who listen to this show are veterans of RuneScape who have been playing since the second half of the decade, so 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8. Not many in the last year who listen to this show have started playing RS then. So.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed that.
All right.
I don't know how you would get more people to play the game, unless you were putting on an iPad, but then I don't like that idea.
Yeah, and then you'd be, of course, relegated to the browser, because unless you did an HTML5 wrapper application, which really doesn't then give you the access to all the good stuff that the Safari rendering engine has. So, but anyways, enough on that. We'll touch on it in a little bit. So how much sleep do you get per night?
I try to get 7, but there have been times when I'll keep getting 6 as I work or I can get up early.
Okay. Uh-oh. Hope you're okay. Okay. Typically,
even if I died, you wouldn't care.
Oh, I would. Typically, I get around 7, 8 if I'm tired. It's very rare for me to sleep past 8. So, yeah, that's for me. And strange things happen if I go on less than 4 hours of sleep. Very strange things happen. If anybody wants to know what kind of strange things happen, just send King Kula or Earth a PM, and they'll tell you what kind of things happen.
Do we really want to know?
Yeah, remember that one night on... Or no, I don't know if you would, but we were all on StarCraft, and I had just finished getting probably about 3 hours of sleep that night, and it was a very amusing experience for everybody. I only remembered doing 2 of the games and blurred the outcomes between them, and apparently I was acting very funny. So we might have to test that again one day. All right. Oh, and by the way, thanks to 101Duck1, personal questions like that are allowed. We used to get those quite a bit, but we don't anymore, so if you have any personal questions like that, I'm always willing to answer things like that. All right, can you read this one from Flash?
Okay, this question is from Flash, dear host. As you might have noticed, things... Take 2. Dear host, you might have noticed, looking at the numbers of players in the world these days, there are less and less players online recently in both old school RuneScape and the main game. I remember the days when there would be 200,000 players on at a time. Even in the beginning of this year, we were still around 80,000. But now, there's only about 45,000 players playing a live game, and about 15,000 on 07. Do you think Jagged should be worried about the population decline at this point? RS3 sure didn't seem to help increase the population, since it seems even less players are playing RS3. And I don't think Divination will help much either, unless it's a really good skill. The decrease of players worry me, because I really don't want to see the fall of RuneScape occur so quickly. What do you think Jagged should do to try and bring more players into the game? Flash.
Okay.
Didn't we talk about this just now?
Exactly. Exactly. This is a very common thread, it seems. We were talking to some people as well this week, and they have the general consensus as well, is that the population of RuneScape has gone down, and there are not as many new people coming into the game as there was. So... there's 2 theories to this that I have. The first one is that the population is actually going down. That's, option one. Option two is that the 80,000 we were seeing last year and whatnot, and earlier this year, half of them that were on were all bots.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be entirely possible, you know. So, I mean, that would be really unfortunate if that's the case. I don't want to jump on that bandwagon just yet, but it could be true. So, Does Jagex have to worry about this? No, not right now. Not right now. You know, we see all the changes that are being made, all the investments into the game. A brand new engine to run the system on. That, of course, takes time and research to develop. A brand new audio engine, new audio servers, investment of the guy who composed Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. That kind of stuff does not come cheap. So, I mean, Jagex certainly has the cash, and cash flow is not something that us players need to be worried about at this time. I think they're just doing fine in that department, given, you know, all the Squeal updates and all the Solomon purchases that have probably been going on in the background. So all that sort of stuff is revenue generating for them and is a reason for them to not to worry. So, you know, it could very well be that at the time these updates started coming out like that, included with this year's Premier Club membership, is that Jagex knew they were heading down towards this number and they needed some sort of strategy to bring that number back up after the bot fight to bring new people into their game. But of course, the question is, how do you do that now, like you and I were saying in the previous question? I mean, it certainly feels like the updates have been focusing on existing players and not, I mean, they're heavily lore intensive. And I guess if, like, you know how long it takes you to get ready to do while Guthix sleeps?
Yeah, sometimes.
And then how much after that to do the World Wakes quest? You kind of benefit from while Guthix sleeps, but not really. So the amount of time needed to level up a character in this game and to get all the quests done is kind of an obstacle for new players to truly, truly understand what's going on in the lore. Like, granted, you can do these quests without requirements, but wouldn't you say that to have a true grasp on the understanding of what's going on, it would definitely help to have some of the previous quests done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone sees RuneScape 3, then maybe, just maybe, they're going to join, but then they're going to see that they can do these things, but they're missing something out. And are they going to want to do that? I don't know. Like, the market that RuneScape was targeting, teenagers back then, are different than today. Because back in 2004, we didn't have all the cell phone kind of technology that we did, that we do now. So, I mean, people are occupying themselves with different things, like you mentioned before. So, I mean, I see it as an issue, our community sees it as an issue, and apparently our update listeners do as well, since we had two questions on this exact topic this week. And, you know, we just gotta see what's gonna happen with Divination and the full release of RS3. So,
I just hope Divination is good. I can... I'll play RS while I'm in class, pretending to be listening to a teacher like I always do.
Yeah, that, I mean, I just don't see people being interested in the game who are the kind of teenager that I was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And also, MMOs have gone down a bit too. Like, in this topic, we had Zant posted a thing that World of Warcraft has gone down as well. So, I don't know. Something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say, really.
Yeah, it would be nice if we can find a way to control our character with our phone and play on the screen. That would be funny. Be like the Wii U thing going on.
Yeah, you know, that would be the ultimate transition for RuneScape to make, would be to a true mobile game where you could play it on a phone and do who knows what with it. So, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to set up because it's so reliant on the mouse and, just the mouse for moving around. Moving around, say, like, you'd have to tap somewhere on the screen, and then, even then, a phone really isn't that big enough to engage in combat and, you know, activate all your abilities and whatnot. You need to have a condensed action bar. it would be an interesting project nonetheless, but I think that's actually where what my answer to this question will be, is that Jagex should head in that direction. Start with a mobile thing to access things like your player-owned ports and whatnot, and then branch off from there.
Okay, cool.
All right. Do you have anything else on that one?
Do I have anything else? Jagex needs to do something innovating in order to capture more people, but you know, the only way to do that is if there was a massive EMP and cell phones died everywhere, and but somehow computers miraculously remained okay, and little kids with no more phones will have to play something else during lunch break.
Yep, there you go. And you know what?
But maybe you know it's good. You know, we have a. Maybe this is good because then we have a better core of players than just a flog of mini clip users.
Yeah, that could be it as well. And you know, it could be that RuneScape itself is undergoing a transition from the kind of game that we remember where you'd play it at lunch break, like you said, and then moving into kind of like what WoW was at one point. But the thing is, with MMO adoption like that going down, I don't know that that's the right move. So, because, you know, really, part of the problem with the botting issue and whatnot is the amount of time that you need to invest in the game. So, I don't know. It's just hard to say, really. But anyways, let's move on to tech news. All right, so Microsoft is recruiting players to hunt down Xbox trolls. So, according to this article, a common complaint of online gaming in its present form is the prevalence of toxic players who make the experience unnecessarily miserable for others with their behavior. Often such people are found on Xbox Live. And because of this, Microsoft is rolling out a pair of new initiatives to hunt down their trolls. The first one is called Enforcement United, where players can sign up to serve justice to players who may be making the community a worse place. And the second is Xbox Community Level, which is another program where players can level up and earn rewards by being a positive member of the Xbox Live collective by volunteering for Enforcement United. I welcome this.
But getting rid of trolls, sure.
Yeah, and be
the Xbox version of player mods.
Exactly, that's what this is. And when you look at it, I don't know if you've ever been on Xbox Live, but Xbox Live is a pretty vicious place.
What'd you expect? It is nothing but 12-year-olds and 27-year-olds with no girl, no job, living in mom's basement.
You know, I was just thinking of my Xbox Live profile, and 70% of the people who I played with preferred me, and then 30% ignored me of the ones who they preferred or ignored me. And the funny thing is that the vast majority of those who ignored me for disruptive voice, when I never even used a microphone on Xbox Live. Also, unsporting conduct and quit early is also on there.
Meh, that profile is stupid.
I know it is, but it's just funny. So, it's good that Microsoft is doing this, and at first it's going to start out by players moderating other people's gamer tags and looking for bad ones. So let's say the filter doesn't catch something. One of these people who are part of Enforcement United can take part and flag the bad gamer tag. And of course, there's also going to be safeguards in place, so people just can't be banned or whatever because of an unruly moderator, which is, of course, good. Because I imagine there will be some people on the system who would feel like doing that. So, and right now, only Xbox Live ambassadors are eligible to serve in the Enforcement United beta, and ambassadors help out with customer service issues players may have on behalf of Microsoft and can rank up their new Xbox community level by doing that. So you can actually sign up to the Ambassadors program on ambassadors.xbox.com if you want to become one of them. So pretty okay. Nice that Microsoft is doing this. You ever considered getting an Xbox?
No.
What about an Xbox One?
No. Nope. No more consoles. Okay. Ever since my GameCube, when I look how when they were announcing the Nintendo Revolution, I looked at my Game Boy collection and I was like, God, I only got 3 games for the GameCube. Well, forget it. I'll stick it with PC.
All right. Moving on from that, Microsoft is also being overly aggressive with regards to Apple. So they recently launched an ad comparing the iPad Mini and Acer Iconia, which is a Windows 8 tablet, both the same form factor and whatnot, and basically is saying that the iPad is good for pretty much nothing but being a glorified ebook reader, while the Microsoft tablet is good for doing everything, and it's a PC. Would you like me to play the ad? It's about 30 seconds long.
Sure, why not?
Small world, you come in mini too. Maybe we could read together? What the? Is that Halo?
So at that point in the ad, Halo was playing on the Acer tablet.
I did not see that coming. You have Outlook and Full Office? Wow, you are a real PC. Let's just go back to reading. Actually, don't read that.
Shame.
Yeah.
My, okay, that was interesting.
Yeah, and you know, it of course ends with showing that the Acer tablet is $200 less than the iPad Mini. You know, the unfortunate thing about that is that if what? Microsoft actually had a dedicated tablet OS, it would be a compelling ad. But I just don't think the public perception of Windows 8 is there to take this ad seriously. So, I mean, have you upgraded to Windows 8 yet?
No.
There you go. So.
I have no reason to.
Yeah, and
probably won't do Window, I don't know, Window Revolution when it comes out.
And, you know, the thing is that with this, they don't emphasize that the hardware of the Acer tablet really isn't that great. It's got a better screen, or, I mean, not a better screen, a poorer screen as one thing, and it's much heavier than the iPad is. So, I mean, it's not exactly a truthful ad, but if you do want a tablet that does pretty much everything a Windows PC does, that's what Windows is for. Anyways, you can watch the ad and more and find the full story in Tech News. Be interesting to see if that ad makes it onto TV here in Canada and over there.
I don't know. I have no interest with tablets right now anyway.
Yeah, and we really don't see many tablet ads and Microsoft ads over here. I think most of those are in the US, so.
I see the Microsoft tablet ads, but it's like, those who have the iPad, they're Mac fanboys anyway.
Not if they necessarily. Aren't, not necessarily.
Let me finish. Or they're one of those, oh my god, this is so cool, and bought it at first and haven't done anything with it else and haven't tried anything else yet either.
You know, Reed bought an iPad Mini for going to school, right? And he's not an Apple fanboy.
Yes, but you are.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, though.
Reese is Chad.
No, he's not. Anyways.
Is he older? Is he younger than you?
Yes.
He's a child.
Even though he's 19.
So, he's still a child in someone's eyes. You're still a child.
Thank you. In your eyes?
No, in your mother's eyes, not mine.
Okay.
You're a fool.
All right. So, moving on from that, we got more Xbox news this week. So, some details about the Xbox One came out, specifically with regards to sharing digital games. So, everybody in a single household is going to be able to share games with each other if you have them in your virtual game library. So, if you have a game, you'll be able to use it, and other people in your household will be able to use it as well. They just need to sign in with their own gamer tag, and then they can play it if they're not the owner that's signed in. So, that's good, I think.
Yay.
And of course, it also mentions, which was a major issue for many people with the Xbox One, is that you can also play many digital downloaded games without being online. So, I think that's good as well. Let's see. Also, you can share them when you go to another console. So, say you go to a friend's house, you can just sign in and you'll have access to it. And then you'll be able to download it whenever you want. So, that's good. And now, the other thing, something that they've needed to do for oh so long, is that you can now share Xbox Live Gold benefits. So for anybody who doesn't have an Xbox, basically what the Gold program does is it allows you to play online, access the community, and do a whole host of other things. So basically, this means that now you only need one Gold membership per household, and you don't need to share gamer tags anymore. So I know this would be good because here we often have the problem that the Xbox gamer tag and the Gold membership was on my account. But let's say somebody like my dad wanted to play his NHL hockey game. He wouldn't be able to play online or access the premium features because he didn't have Gold. But with this, if this was the case, he would be able to do that with this updated type of Gold subscription.
Okay.
Yeah, other benefits include game DVR, Smart Match, and access to entertainment apps and services, including Skype and Internet Explorer.
Yeah, I haven't really bothered with IE except for at work, where some places still need to use IE to access.
That's unfortunate.
Pity. Yeah. Oh, well.
You know, I think if I was choosing a next-generation console, if I was to get one, I would do the Xbox.
What'd you do with the Xbox?
Like I said, if I was going to buy a next-gen console, I'd get the Xbox based on this. But right now, I have no interest in it, in getting one. So,
okay.
Like you said, PC is where it's all at.
Yeah, not always. I mean, I still find it fun to go on playing the Xbox with other people once in a while, but I'm just not going to buy it anymore. And the other thing is with me is, the thing about the consoles is that I just don't want to be paying another $200, $300 for a console that I'm going to have like three games for again. That's just me. Games are fun, but it's just not for me.
Yeah, and because of that, you know, you're not a console gamer, so you don't exactly purchase games for it, and that's entirely understandable.
And, you know, sometimes playing on the Xbox controller is still a whole lot better than a mouse and keyboard for some games. I don't care for driving games. I found Assassin's Creed much more playable with my controller than my mouse and keyboard. Same with Grand Theft Auto. I found I have much more control with them than with mouse and keyboard. What's another one that was there? You know, playing, you know, when you're playing an emulator with some old Super Nintendo games, I always find the Xbox controller much better. Mouse and keyboard is great, but it's kind of hard to be holding up, down, left, right, L1, L2, A, B, Y, X, and start, select, you know? It's like, okay, I have 10 fingers. How can I make this work, and how can I reprogram the keyboard to do what I want?
You need to do the 10-finger salute.
Okay.
Yeah. It's where you take all 10 fingers, and you press all the buttons at the same time and manipulate all the controls. And hope that something happens.
So we're going to use your feet to try and move the mouse too?
Yes. Yes.
I like to see you try that, Shane.
Okay. Anyways, that's it for tech news. So let us move on to some other things. So, August, skill of the month, defense. And, what do you know? We got a lead change. Last week, Fish was in first place. So this week, Bletherskite is now in first place with 2.7 million experience gained. He started at 65. Second place is Fishfish with 2.4. And third place is 101Duck1 with 976,000 XP gain. So chances are that by the time you're listening to this, it will have changed again because, you know, defense as a combat skill is highly dynamic. So, good to see everybody participating, and we got a good, healthy race going on.
Huzzah! All right, let's keep it interesting for the next couple weeks, eh? All right, yes. And quick reminder, I still have my interface competition going on. PM me your builds. It's going to close in about 2 weeks.
And yeah, that's on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums.
PM me. I had a couple of interesting submissions that was, for me, I thought it was quite out of the box thinking.
Oh, like, that's good. Nice. Can I enter?
At least. Sure. Set your own win, but sure.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Achievos of the week.
Achievos of the week?
Yes. Okay, I don't know what an Achievo is, but...
sounds like something with TiVo. Sounds like a new TiVo product.
Get us going while we, while I Google that.
Okay, we have Parnassius, who got 99 defense on August 6th. Eon, who got 99 fishing on August 5th. And Macbeth, who got 99 constitution on August 3rd.
Congratulations, everyone. And apparently, Achievo is an IT company. Global Software and IT Solutions. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for the achievements of the week. I'm going to tell everybody now about my Informer article that I wrote this week. It's a part of a new series called the Three Threes of RuneScape 3. Basically, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to go through the new interface system, the website, and the HTML5 client, and look at each of them and how they've improved and how they've improved the experience of the game and how they were delivered. So I started with the interface system because, as I said, that's my favorite part of RuneScape 3, so rightly so. Basically went through it and gave a rundown of the development process as to how everybody helped out about it, the players and whatnot, and how having player input on such a thing was absolutely crucial. So head on over, informer.rsbnb.com, and have a read. What?
Cool.
All right.
Let's see. What else do we have? I don't have a pick. Unless you do.
Yeah, I do, actually. A while back, sometime last year, maybe before, we had a pick on the show called Last Pass, which is basically a password management tool. I use something different. I use the OS X and iPhone's specific version that does sort of the same thing. It's called 1Password. And 1Password released a new version recently. And because of this, they put the iPhone version on sale for $7.99. And the regular price of that is $19.99. So it is a great deal. $7.99, more than 50% off, and basically lets you organize your passwords and whatnot on your phone. It could also, of course, sync to your computer, either Windows or Mac. The only downside of this is that the Windows and Mac versions are a bit more expensive than normal. So, for example, the Mac version of 1Password is $49.99, but you also have a Windows version that's $49.99 as well. So you would have to pay that price for either your Windows or Mac version. So that is the only caveat of this piece of software. And as I said, the only reason I use this is because I got it in a bundle at Christmas time once for a grand total of $30. So I got it for $20 off of the actual price. So that's why I use 1Password. And overall, it's just what I feel a better user experience than LastPass is. It looks nicer and it's not as obtuse. But if you do need a version on your computer as well, and you don't want just a mobile version to store your passwords, you could also look at LastPass as well. But 1Password is the pick for iOS and Mac and Windows. All right.
All right.
What you been up to?
I've been up to. I did some dungeoneering.
Oh, that's good. What level are you at now?
Nah, same level. Just did a little bit of it. Had this one stupid fool who was trying to control everything, but he had no idea what he was doing. Well, kind of ignored him anyway.
Okay, what happened?
Nah, he was trying to control, but he had no idea how to. He was trying to be a quote-unquote keyer, but he was the host of it anyway. I was. And he was complaining that we were moving too slow. Well, if you actually listened to what I was telling you, maybe it wouldn't be moving as slow for you. what else did I get? That's it. Did the battle for Lumbridge, and did the battle for Lumbridge, and did ports.
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else? I was working.
Okay.
And start classes next week.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What I've been up to this week is, since it was clear Divination wasn't coming out this week, and now I got another full week to do it, I am making an attempt to get 90 Thieving so that I can unlock the full suite of player-owned port stuff. I'm currently level 84, almost level 85, as we talk about this right now. I started at level 82 last weekend. And let's just say that the Monkey Knife Fighters are very fast. Very fast indeed. Even if you were to bring in something like a skill pendant. So if you have lots of those to burn up, that's an excellent way of getting Thieving XP. The levels just seem to fly by even at level 82 and whatnot. So going for level 90 there should be no big deal. But aside from that, I just toured the Lumbridge battle area once again and also gathered some tiers and whatnot from there. So that's all I've been doing.
Okay.
All right. And also, just a little happy birthday note this week that our very own website that we're based out of turned 9.
Yay, 9 years old.
Yep, August 6th was the day. So happy 9th birthday to our website.
Happy birthday to Shane. Happy birthday to Shane.
Let's all go
crazy. Oh, same thing.
Yeah, but so I think that's it for this week. I don't have anything else on this sheet, so shall we call it done?
Definition is coming down in 2 weeks, right? So we look forward. Hopefully, it'll be good. Is the quest coming next week? I can't remember.
Yeah, quest next week.
All right, so we got something to talk about. And I'm going to dress up.
Finally!
I'm going to dress up as Elite Black Knight and see what happens. Maybe I'll get promoted within the Black Knight. Or maybe Sarah Domo will try to zap me, thinking I'm the enemy, and try to fry me, and then suddenly I kind of turn a giant lightning rod, zapping him back and bringing forth the destruction of the universe. Okay, bye, y'all.
All right. See you next week, everyone. Take care.